One major theme in the presidential race so far this year is the growing gap between America's rich and poor. It's a theme that increasingly defines the city of Boston, with both its booming innovation economy and a growing number of people who find themselves struggling at the bottom of the economic ladder. WBUR's senior political reporter Anthony Brooks examines the two faces of Boston.
I'm here at Fan Pier on the Boston waterfront in the heart of South Boston's Innovation District. This part of the city is booming. It's the home of Gillette, of Vertex. It's where General Electric will soon be headquartered. And all around me, new buildings are going up, luxury condominiums, new restaurants are open. This is a part of the city that is literally changing by the month. And I've come here to talk to Jim Rooney, president of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, about the strength of this city's innovation economy.
Yeah, there was a plan done by the Boston Redevelopment Authority back in the 90s that projected out 30 million square feet of development by the year 2030. The pace of development is 10 years faster than what was expected in that BRA plan.
10 years faster,
and this has become a place to go.
Particularly if you work in the city's robust innovation economy. Just this spring, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce ranked Boston as the American city best positioned to lead the shift to a digital economy, thanks to this innovation boom and the region's high quality of life.
So I think it's a significant moment that says to anyone who's thinking about where they either want to do their startup, locate their company, that Boston now is the place to be.
But there's another side of this economy. Just ask Janine Skinner where she wants to be in 5 years, and you get the idea.
I hope to have our own home so that when my children come home from school, they have a place to call home. We have enough space for everyone. Just, you know, happy, healthy, and really on a path of financial success.
Skinner grew up in Mattapan and Dorchester and now lives in a sparsely furnished apartment in Dedham with her husband and two children. They're trying hard to make the transition from unemployed to working parents, but it's not easy. When they were both jobless, they counted on food stamps, cash assistance, daycare vouchers, and public housing. Now Skinner's husband drives for Uber, and she works as a receptionist for a nonprofit in downtown Boston. So the good news, they're both working. The bad news, all that public assistance stopped.
My rent went up to $700. Daycare was added on. Now that I'm working, I have to pay for transportation to and from work, plus parking. So it was very hard. I even considered, you know, leaving my job because that honestly wasn't making enough to sustain the bills.
But she's still working, and she says there's something else she wants for her family, a kitchen table.
People don't realize, people in my situation, we don't have. You know, I come to work with people that probably make, you know, great money and have beautiful homes, and I go home where we sit on the floor. So this is something that I think is a very, sorry, I'm getting emotional.
No, it's understandable. It's understandable. Yeah.
You know, so have a place for me and my family to sit and eat dinner together every night.
So there are two perspectives on Boston's economic reality. Janine Skinner, struggling to afford a kitchen table, and the city's innovation district, building enormous wealth for many who work there. According to the Brookings Institution, Boston has the highest rate of income inequality among the country's 100 largest cities. It found that the richest 5% of households make at least $266,000 a year, 18 times more than the bottom 20%, which make about $15,000 a year. So what explains this widening wealth gap in a state and city historically dominated by liberal Democrats?
Mainly because they don't care about it.
This is Thomas Frank, a journalist and author, most recently of the book Listen Liberal, Whatever Happened to the Party of the People, which includes a tough critique of the Massachusetts innovation economy, what Frank calls a liberalism of the rich.
It's the economic plan that you find so many different leaders in the Democratic Party endorsing as the way forward for this country.
The way Frank sees it, Democrats have forged a kind of unholy alliance with those who benefit from the innovation economy, including biotech, big medicine, and academia. This alliance, he says, leads to policies that promote economic disparity.
Once you decide that the only people that really matter in your economic worldview are members of the, you know, the white collar professional class, and keeping them happy is very important, and making sure that it's really easy for people to innovate. But at the same time, switching off your concern about working people, well, that's naturally what's going to happen.
One example of public policy that promotes the innovation economy is the courtship of General Electric to relocate to South Boston. GE is getting $150 million in tax incentives, and in return, pledging $50 million worth of philanthropy to Boston public schools. Here's Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, a rock-solid pro-union Democrat, extolling the benefits of giving tax breaks to a corporation.
There's an opportunity here, bringing in one of the largest companies in the world to invest in our city. The spinoff of that for taxes, which will be reinvested back in our economy, back into our schools, our police, our fire, you can't put a figure on that.
Republicans have their sort of version of this where you cut taxes and you lure companies to your city.
Again, writer Thomas Frank.
Either way, you are, as a city, abasing yourself before a certain class of people, you know. It's not something that you want to see in a democracy.
Frank argues that policymakers are promoting the innovation economy at the expense of poor and working families, turning their backs on the kind of New Deal progressivism that once helped build the middle class.
That's like saying, you know, we shouldn't have had policies that encouraged an industrial revolution because it was displacing agricultural workers. The economy is the economy.
Deval Patrick, the former Democratic governor of Massachusetts, took on this issue. Part of his legacy was a $1 billion package of tax incentives, capital spending, and business-friendly low-interest loans to promote the biotech and life sciences industry. Critics called it unfair because it singled out one part of the economy for generous subsidies. But Patrick says the benefits of such policies go further than one industry.
We need an expanding economy in order to give people a way forward for themselves and their families, to lift themselves. I think for those of us who believe that government has a role, there's a role in helping people help themselves.
Consider the first part of that argument, that an expanding economy lifts everybody. Does that mean Boston's innovation economy is a rising tide that will lift all boats?
No, and in fact, it may be just the opposite. A rising tide may, in fact, sink some boats.
This is Barry Bluestone, an economist at Northeastern University. He says a chief reason for the dramatic wage disparity in Boston is that roaring innovation economy, including financial services, high tech, biotech, and academia, which pay very high salaries. But there are many more people still working in the old economy, earning much less.
As a result, once you control for the cost of living, many people have actually seen their wages go down. It's particularly true because of the soaring rents and home prices. Since we are growing that top of the job distribution faster than most other cities, the income distribution has gotten much worse here than elsewhere.
Which brings us back to Janine Skinner and how government can help her. As we said, when she was unemployed, she received lots of help, but then lost it when she went back to work.
So it was very hard. I even considered, leaving my job.
So you were literally considering giving up work just because it was a better deal in terms of the kind of assistance you can get if you're not working.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lots of working people in Boston face this challenge. According to Crismaldi Vasquez, who heads the Family Independence Initiative of Boston, a social services agency that's helping Janine Skinner. Vasquez says it's important to understand what happens to people who fall below the poverty line.
So there's a stigma that families, people that are in poverty, are stuck there. And what we know is that they're not stuck there. In fact, in 3 years, 96% of families actually move out of the poverty line. And what we are seeing is that within time, they are swooped right back in. And they're one emergency away from, again, falling below the poverty line.
So there's a safety net for the very poor, and there are policies that help the middle class, like the mortgage interest deduction and access to credit. But at a time when GE is receiving generous tax breaks, Vasquez says for large numbers of the working poor, like Janine Skinner, there's not much in the way of public assistance.
I would favor us looking at our policies and looking at families as they are moving beyond the poverty line, and how do we follow them beyond it and make investments?
Economist Barry Bluestone agrees. He says there are lots of global forces responsible for the growing wage disparity in Boston, including expansion of global trade and capital mobility. He argues the roaring innovation economy is good for Boston and the region, but he says policymakers must do more.
So at the same time we're supporting GE and we're supporting the innovation economy, there are ways of raising revenue that will allow us to support the rest of the economy where most of us work. Raising the minimum wage, putting more money into education, early childhood education, critical. Those are the kinds of things we should be doing.
Such measures could narrow the income gap and make it easier to move up the economic ladder. And by the way, when it comes to upward mobility, Boston actually does better than most American cities. According to a Harvard study, Boston ranks 7th out of 50 major cities on opportunities to climb that ladder. So that's good, but that doesn't mean it's easy. That same study found that in Boston, your chances of moving from the bottom fifth of the economy to the top fifth are only about 1 in 10. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.